953.
Amend Police Review Board Code to implement stipulated discipline provisions for Portland Police Bureau members in accordance with amendments to the settlement agreement between the United States and the City of Portland.
Colleagues, this ordinance makes changes in the Police Review Board Code to allow for stipulated discipline as authorized by the Council last August when the Council approved amendments to the DOJ settlement agreement. Stipulated discipline is, in short, an off-ramp from the regular discipline process that's currently in place. It will only apply in very narrow circumstances. As agreed upon by the Council last year, it will not apply to the use of force cases, officer-involved shootings, in-custody deaths, retaliation, or disparate treatment cases. It allows involved officers to accept full responsibility for their actions and resulting discipline without any negotiation. This is not plea bargaining. This is due process. I have here again Nicole Grant, one of my senior policy advisors, who will provide further information on this item, along with Captain Jeff Bell from the PPB. Thank you for being here. And Mark Amberg from the City Attorney's Office. Thank you for being here. Take it away, Nick.
Good afternoon again, Commissioners. And I'll just state my name for the record, Nicole Grant, senior policy advisor for the mayor. As the mayor stated, this ordinance makes changes to the Police Review Board Code with the implementation of stipulated discipline. In August 2017, Council approved amendments to the settlement agreement, which included the provision of a stipulated discipline process that would allow PPB members, with the concurrence of multiple parties, to accept the findings of an investigation and discipline. The conceptual approval of stipulated discipline accompanied the approval of other changes to PPB's discipline process, which had suffered under the weight of its complexities. Per the settlement agreement, this option would only be made available to members following the implementation of code language adhering to certain parameters. In April of this year, Judge Simon formally approved this amendment to the settlement agreement at the Fairness Hearing and Status Conference. The ordinance before you today follows up on the plans laid out in those approved amendments to the settlement agreement. It is the result of several months of conversation and negotiation with the Portland Police Association. The DOJ has advised the city of the need to have a stipulated discipline process in order to achieve substantial compliance with the settlement agreement. With that said, I am pleased to report that the DOJ has formally approved this process. I'm here today with Captain Jeff Bell from PPB's Professional Standards Division and Mark Amberg from the City Attorney's Office, who will delve into the specifics of the code language and the process. For the sake of clarity, I just want to note that the process we are asking you to approve is just that, a process. It does not predetermine or influence discipline for PPB members. It's just intended to improve efficiencies within the system and provide both complainants and involved officers with procedural due process. And with that, I'll pass the mic to Captain Bell.
Thank you.
And again, Mayor and Commissioners, thank you for your time today. Again, I'm Jeff Bell, Captain with the Police Bureau in the Professional Standards Division. And so I'd like to provide just a little bit of context for the implementation of this proposed stipulated discipline. This kind of goes along with the package of amendments and to the settlement agreement and the related code changes back in August of 2017. Some of those changes were we revamped our supervisory investigation process, which at this point now is in full swing and allows non-disciplinary complaints, a rather quick resolution through the officer's direct supervisor, along with investigators now providing recommended findings. The approved stipulated discipline process, the stipulated discipline process as a concept was approved by City Council, but the city still needed to negotiate the specific terms with the Portland Police Association. So part of the reason why we're doing this is, as we do as well, but the DOJ has had concerns about the timeliness of our internal investigations, and this will allow us to improve the timeliness of certain cases. And one of the main issues and one of my chief concerns when this was first talked about, this takes place at a time after the investigation is complete and after proposed discipline and proposed findings have been made. So this is not a process that occurs early in the process. This is a process that would only occur after Bureau Management and the other partners in this know all of the information they need to know about what happened. This process would occur prior to a case going to a police review board. So again, it's after findings have been made and discipline has been proposed. If an officer selects to go through this process of stipulated discipline, their case would then not go through a police review board, and it would not go to the chief and the police commissioner for further consideration on the discipline. However, they would have the final say about whether or not the proposed or the stipulated discipline process can be used for any particular case. So, in summary, in order for this to happen, everybody has to actually agree, and that includes the officer, police bureau management, IPR, and I think IPR provides a lot of the community's voice in this process. Ms. Irene Konev, I saw in the back of the room, is an excellent community outreach person. But then, of course, the chief of police and you, Mayor, as the police commissioner, would have the final say about whether or not we could actually proceed with stipulated discipline on any of these cases. Mark Amberg is going to go into further details about what cases are exactly allowed, but I think it's important to note that once stipulated discipline is agreed to by all parties, there is no grievance or appeal of that stipulated discipline. The process ends at that point. Officers must accept those findings and the proposed discipline as presented to them. As you said, Mr. Mayor, this is not a plea bargain. This is all about if the officer agrees to what the Bureau has proposed, they may accept that. If they don't accept that, then the process continues as it normally would. I think it's also important to note that this does not affect the ability of any citizens to still appeal these cases to the Citizen Review Committee. So if they have any issues with any of the findings and they want to appeal these to the Citizen Review Committee, there's nothing in this that would interfere with their ability to do that. I think it's hard for us to estimate because we don't have this system in place. My personal feeling and folks that are familiar with the system that I've talked to anticipate this will be used very infrequently, that this is something that will probably only happen a few times a year. But in those cases where it does happen, I think it's beneficial in that it gives both the officers involved and the complainants more timely closure rather than dragging out the process in these cases where everyone agrees kind of and the officer is willing to take responsibility for their actions. And again, overall, it shortens our timelines and administrative work on the part of the Professional Standards Division and the Bureau in general, again, in these cases where everyone agrees that the findings and discipline are appropriate. So I'm going to pass it off to Mr. Amberg, who will discuss the technical details of the amendment.
Thank you, Captain Bell. Mayor, Commissioners, for the record, Mark Amberg with the City Attorney's Office. As was noted, this stipulated discipline process is actually started with negotiations with the U.S. Department of Justice over some amendments, a package of amendments, so to speak, to the settlement agreement that were approved by this council last August and then approved by Judge Simon at the fairness status hearing last April. The stipulated discipline process is an important part of is viewed as an important part of improving the police discipline process, the police accountability process, to have an off-ramp, so to speak, in cases where the officer acknowledges there's been a policy violation and agrees to accept proposed discipline. Under the proposal, which, as Ms. Grant noted, the language that's in the proposed amendments to the code were negotiated with the Portland Police Association. They've also been approved by the U.S. Department of Justice. Under the proposed code amendments, which are under the under the police bureaus, the code that governs the police review board, that was the place where we needed to insert this process. There are certain types of cases that are excluded. That's been discussed. Cases involving alleged use of excessive force, alleged discrimination, disparate treatment or retaliation, reviews of officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths, and importantly, cases, any case in which the police chief or the mayor as the police commissioner does not agree to accept the member's proposed stipulation to findings and recommended discipline. None of those cases, regardless of, I'll talk about the discipline guide in a moment, none of these cases, regardless of where they fall on the discipline guide, would be eligible for stipulated discipline. The types of cases under the code amendment that would be eligible for stipulated discipline, first of all, any first-time offenses that fall under Category A through Category D of the Police Bureau Discipline Guide, which the discipline guide is also, as counsel is aware, came out of the U.S. Department of Justice settlement agreement, is a requirement of the settlement agreement that the police bureau come up with and implement and follow a discipline guide. The police bureau's current version of the discipline guide went into effect on March 1st, 2014, and has been in effect since that time. So the categories that are referred to in this amendment, categories A through D of the guide, are defined under the guide. I would say also the guide actually goes up, has categories E and F. Each, as you go up in the letters, then they're more serious offenses. The lower level offenses are category A. The higher level offenses go up all the way to category F. The stipulated discipline would not apply, with one exception that I'll note, to any case that would fall under a category E or a category F on the discipline guide. Categories E and F on the discipline guide are where the first time on the guide where there could be a potential termination of an officer's employment for whatever the misconduct was. Second time offenses that fall under category A, the lowest level of discipline on the guide, would be eligible for stipulated discipline. Again, with the review of everybody involved, IPR, the member's assistant chief, professional standards, and also the police chief and the commissioner, police commissioner. The other categories of cases which would be eligible for stipulated discipline, which is they actually fall under category E, and these would be first-time off-duty driving while under the influence of offenses that fall under category E. To be eligible for stipulated discipline for an off-duty driving under the influence offense, it has to be a non-aggravated offense. There can be no other driving-related violations or charges, such as a reckless driving charge or something of that nature. And the member must comply with all court-ordered, they must enter into a diversion in here in Oregon or in the state of Washington. It's referred to as a delayed prosecution. They're essentially the same thing. The member would have to enter into that program and would have to comply with all court-ordered conditions of a diversion or delayed prosecution to be eligible for stipulated discipline. If not all of those conditions are met, they would not be eligible for stipulated discipline for an off-duty driving under the influence offense. So those are the categories of cases that would be eligible for stipulated discipline. A couple of notes. First of all, when there's a number of cases involve multiple claim violations of policy. In those cases where there's multiple sustained violations, the violation would be set at the highest category on the discipline guide for purposes of determining whether the case would be eligible for stipulated discipline. So if you have multiple violations and one of those violations fell into an E or an F, even though other offenses might fall under in lower categories would not be eligible for stipulated discipline. There's two other parts of the proposed code amendment that I want to note. One is that with the exception of excluded categories, in negotiations with the Portland Police Association, if there's some other category or type of case, for example, the one that we have here in front of us is the off-duty, non-aggravated driving under the influence charge, but if there's some other category or type of case that the police association, the police commissioner, the police chief believes should be eligible for stipulated discipline, there's the opportunity to agree on that category of cases being eligible for stipulated discipline. Finally, one other amendment that's in the code that really it doesn't have anything to do with stipulated discipline, but since this code section is coming before council, this is in certain sections of the code as it currently reads. Where the code talks about the types of cases that have to be reviewed by the police review board. One of the categories of cases that's defined in the code at this point in time are less lethal incidents where the recommended finding is out of policy. Under police bureau practice and under police bureau directives, all use of force incidents, whether they're less lethal uses of force or a deadly use of force or some other type of use of force, all use of force incidents go before the police review board for review. And so we've offered a cleanup amendment to the code to clarify that all use of force cases, regardless of the type, not just less lethal use of force incidents, will go before the police review board for review. And that's it, unless there are any questions from council.
Commissioner Fritz.
So thank you. This is the third time I've had this explained to me. I think I may be starting to get it. So let's give it this. Let me see if I'm understanding, because the mayor said at the beginning, this is not a plea bargain. And one of the concerns I have about this is looking at the discipline guide and thinking that the discipline imposed doesn't seem to be severe enough in some instances, in my opinion. But what you're saying is that this process, the discipline would be the same whether they go through the police review board or not. But in this stipulated agreement process, they say, yes, I did it, and I'll accept the discipline on the guide. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. If the proposed discipline that would be initiated by the member's RU or responsibility or reporting unit manager, what if the member did not accept that, that is the proposed discipline that would go through the review board process. There's no guarantee what the review board is going to do with that, or ultimately the chief and the mayor, but that would be the proposed discipline that would go to the review board.
Okay. So significant deviation from policy resulting in a vehicle crash, first offense, letter of reprimand. And the officer would say, yes, give me my letter of reprimand, I'm on my way. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then I can support this process. My question and concern is I don't support this discipline guide. And this is the first time that it's come to the council, including when we were promised a discipline guide in part of the DOJ settlement and when we paid a 9% raise, a $9 million raise to the police bureau, to the police officers. So, you know, in my opinion, a vehicle crash is an assault with a deadly weapon. And so I don't think you should get a letter of reprimand for a significant deviation of policy that causes a crash. And so what is the process for changing this discipline guide?
Sure. Captain Bell can speak to it as well. But currently there is a police bureau directive in place that addresses the discipline guide and allows for a process for change. And the process for that change is it can be changed by the police chief with concurrence with the police commissioner really at any time, but there's a review process where the Professional Standards Division of the Police Bureau, in conjunction with the City Attorney's Office, is supposed to review the guide and make recommendations to the police chief on proposed changes. That's the official process that's in place under the directive and is designed to ensure there's some kind of at least annual review of the guide and looking at potential changes. But the ultimately, it's the police chief, again, in concurrence with the police commissioner, who would make changes to the guide. And there's no limit on the input.
Does that have to be bargained with the police, Portland Police Association?
That is a good question. There are some questions about the extent to which it would have to be bargained with the police union. We've taken the position in the past that it's a guide, it's a management tool that does not have to be bargained. I think that the police association would certainly take the position that because it impacts discipline and job security at a minimum, that it does have to be bargained. So we would enter into bargaining with the union over significant changes to the guide, but that is a bit of an open question.
Well, Mayor, are you willing to commit to having a conversation with me into reviewing this?
I'm willing to have the conversation, but obviously I'd like to have more insight into this. But, yes, certainly.
Yeah, because just throughout this guide, I appreciate that we did pay for getting terminations to stick for Category F violations. But there are several – throughout the A through D categories – The discipline seems to be more of a slap on the wrist than a significant deterrent to doing the behavior again. But I'm now understanding that's not. We're just saying that in some instances, the officer can agree, yes, I'll take the discipline, and then we use a different process to change what the discipline is.
Yes. Okay, well, Mayor, let me be clear. If we're gonna get into the question of discipline, I think it has to come up through some regular order. It has to be part of a process where recommendations come to council. This is not a conversation between you and Commissioner Fritz, with all due respect.
It's a
council discussion, and it may very well involve collective bargaining. I mean, we don't have such a great track record on those issues. And so, but let's be clear, there are benefits to us of having a stipulated discipline provision independent of whether you think the discipline tree is correct. That's the issue before us today. And I think we should keep a clear demarcation between the two. This is something that has a benefit to us, has been approved by the Department of Justice. I think we can take this action and still go through a thoughtful process of determining whether or not the proposed discipline for any particular action is adequate. And I also want to caution us in a public hearing commenting on whether any particular matter is an adequate discipline. This is a carefully calibrated system that requires a certain level of fairness and due process on both sides, and I don't think it should be driven by anecdotes.
I got a couple questions.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Are cases that are subject to stipulated discipline, are those public records?
Well, yes, they are public record, but there is an exemption under the public records law for cases that result in discipline. So whether they would be released publicly is it really is determined on a case-by-case basis. Normally,
well, I guess what if the media requests the records?
Right.
Do we make that available or not?
Normally, we do not make those available. In the normal case, in a discipline case, we usually claim the exemption and claim those records as exempt from public disclosure. And, of course, it depends on a number of factors, the egregiousness of the conduct involved, the rank or position of the employee involved, and if there may have been some otherwise public notoriety about the particular event involved, but those are all factors we look at. But generally,
that,
I would
that would
say
be applied whether it goes through stipulated discipline or it goes through the full police review board. I mean, it's the same policy about releasing it to the public.
Whether it was stipulated discipline or discipline through the regular process wouldn't change that at all. There wouldn't be any change to that.
And then I guess I was wondering about issues around an officer involved in domestic violence, stalking, violating restraining order, having sex with a subordinate. Are those eligible for stipulated discipline?
They almost certainly would not be eligible because they would fall under a Category E or a Category F on the discipline guide. So I can't think of a circumstance. Maybe Captain Bell could give his thoughts, but I can't think of a circumstance where it would be eligible for
so none of those actions would be subject to a stipulated discipline avenue.
Correct, and I think the other factor.
But then you said a few minutes ago that what's subject to stipulated discipline beyond what's clearly prohibited in this ordinance is up to the could be up to the commissioner in charge, the chief, a couple other people. So is it possible that handful of other people could decide a domestic violence issue or sex with a subordinate or whatever could be subject to this stipulated discipline when it's clearly not anticipated right now, but could be by those players? I can't remember all the players you listed. But.
Right. That would, I suppose it is possible, but that would have to be the, you know, their commanding officer, an assistant chief, myself, Director Severe from IPR, and then if all those people agreed, it would still go before the chief and the mayor as the police commissioner for a final approval. So
so all those people would have to agree.
All those people would have to agree. And I would.
If one of them objected, that would.
That would
derail.
Kick it back to a normal process where it would go through a police review board.
Right. The default is always going through the normal process, of course. And that. So any. In any case along the way, any of those individuals can say, no, this case, I'm not comfortable with this case going through a stipulated discipline process. I think it needs to go through the full-blown review process.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of those individuals can make that happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor?
Commissioner Daly.
I am also interested in the conversation about the discipline guide, so please add my name to the list. And I do have an amendment to propose. So in the stipulated findings and discipline section under subsection 2E, it states that categories or types of cases eligible for stipulated discipline may be expanded upon by agreement of the commissioner in charge, the chief, and the bargaining unit representatives. I feel since discipline procedures for the police bureau are a matter of great public interest, that I would strongly prefer them to be subject to council, full council approval. And this is meant to increase the transparency of these processes. So here is the amendment number one language. In section J, subsection 2E, to delete the commissioner in charge and add and city council. This is the code as amended. E, with the exception of the categories of cases listed in subsection 3.20.140J.1, the categories or types of cases from the Police Bureau Discipline Guide eligible for stipulated discipline may be expanded upon mutual agreement of the chief, bargaining unit representatives, and city council.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Thank you.
And commissioners, I would also like to offer an amendment to the proposed code language. So it may seem strange for me to offer an amendment at this stage, given kind of the negotiations with the Portland Police Association. Mark Amberg flagged an inconsistency or potential inconsistency between the PRB code and the language for this process. And when this issue was raised with the union, there was a refusal to return to their board with any changes. And so we're bringing it before you for approval. The PRB code requires that certain incidents involving use of force. Actually, I'm sorry, Carla, could you distribute the amendments? I apologize.
Yeah. And then I'll be happy to move them for you.
So the PRB code requires that certain incidents involving use of force must go before the PRB. They include all officer-involved shootings, physical injury caused by an officer that requires hospitalization, all in-custody deaths, and any use of force where the recommended finding is out of policy. Within the current version of the code, officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths fall under a general umbrella of uses of force. Both the settlement agreement amendments and these code changes list among the excluded categories alleged uses of excessive force, officer-involved shootings, and in-custody deaths. So in this most recent language that we're adding, officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths are distinguished from cases involving alleged use of excessive force. So what that potentially means then is that outside of officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths, which are already explicitly excluded by the new code language, it's arguable whether physical injury caused by an officer that requires hospitalization and any use of force, where the recommended finding is out of policy, would also be excluded. So the amendment I'm offering is a simple clarification of 3.20.140J1, that those two additional categories I mentioned, both involving uses of force, are explicitly ineligible for stipulated discipline, preserving the original mandate that they go before the PRB and are subject to the regular discipline process. And you all have copies of that amendment in front of you.
So I move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions?
So I, Commissioner Udaly, I apologize. I'm just tracking as you were reading your amendment, which I see as part of my package. But I haven't taken it. So would you walk us through your amendment one more time just so I get it?
Oh, sure. It's fairly simple. It's just amending the language in Section J, the same section Nicole just referred to say that rather than stipulated discipline being expanded upon by the commissioner in charge, the chief, and the bargaining unit representatives, that it will be the full council, or we heard by council.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Very good. And does that conclude your presentation?
That concludes our presentation.
Fabulous. Public testimony, Carla.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So we have two people signed
Excellent.
Up.
Excellent. Come on up.
Dan Handelman and Charles Bridgecrane.
Hello again, city council members and mayor. I'm Dan Handelman from Portland Cop Watch, as I was a few minutes ago. These amendments have, in terms of the timing, the same problem that I expressed around the last item, which is they were only noted and posted on Friday afternoon. So a lot of people in the community who are very interested in this issue probably aren't even aware that this is being discussed today. The fact that the Police Review Board code is being opened up again and a cleanup is being done in one area where a lot of other issues that the community has been asking for around this process for years are not on the table is very frustrating. We have very rarely get a chance to change this code, and some of these changes are being made because of the DOJ agreement, but there's another one being made not because of that, and among other things, we have long asked for the person who's harmed by the police to be allowed to speak to the Police Review Board, and that's not being contemplated today. One of the things, and Commissioner Saltzman came very close to getting at this, one of the things we raised when these changes were being proposed to the settlement agreement is that the cases that are resolved through stipulation should be reported on in the twice-a-year public reports. That's not listed in here. It's not clear if they're going to be reported on, and I would like counsel to make a firm decision about that before you leave today. Those are the reports that we made Mad Libs out of because they're so redacted you can't even tell the gender of the people involved, so it's not going to expose the name of the officer or anything. It's just that the people need to know what kind of violations are going on that officers are being disciplined for, and if they're excluded from that report, then we're losing out on that information. On that note, this discipline guide was actually posted on Saturday of Labor Day weekend along with 16 other directives for review, and we only have 15 days, so that didn't even give us one day per directive to look at them, but that directive is up for public comment right now, and I don't know why the Bureau released so many directives at the same time. We also have asked that the media and the public be allowed into Police Review Board meetings, which I think would be useful. But another thing that is actually in this settlement agreement, and we've repeatedly asked that it be added to the code, but I believe that it's in the directive, but it's not in the ordinance still, is that if the police review board sends a case back for more investigation, that the whoever investigated IPR or IA has to do more investigation and return to them within 10 days. That's part of the settlement agreement, but it's not listed in the code. And I don't know why that's not being fixed at the same time, since we're fixing this around the settlement agreement issues. The review board, by the way, Commissioner Fritz, I believe, could recommend a higher discipline, because a lot of these categories have this, you know, one, two, or three kinds of discipline that are possible. So it's possible the person will stipulate to something lower than what the police review board would recommend, which would still be in line with that guide. And also, just one more thing, that one of the advantages of the police review board hearings is that they, including the civilian member, which is a very important part of the process, get to make recommendations around policies that come up, do these cases, and that's going to all be lost by the stipulation.
So, Dan, what are these twice-a-year reports? I guess I don't know what those are.
The police review board reports come out, I'm glad you asked me that question, because they're supposed to come out twice a year, and the last one that came out was in November of 2017. They usually come out in January and July each year, and it has a summary of the police review board hearing laying out how many votes there were, not who voted which way, what the outcome was, what the recommended discipline was, and then there's usually a cover sheet, but I think they've changed that now to say whether the final discipline differed from what was recommended by the board. This is a very important report, because those hearings are closed to the public and even the person who's there. So that's those reports. And okay. The one that was supposed to come out in January, I was told by the police PIO, was handed to the city attorney's office in early July, and it still hasn't been released, and I'm not sure why.
And are the officers' names?
No, that's what I said. We made a joke out of it, that it's so redacted you don't even know the gender of anybody involved. So I think it's goes overboard in protecting everybody involved. There's a lot of information that's redacted. Even the what precinct it was in, for instance, sometimes gets redacted.
And so you're saying the stipulated discipline should also be contained in that summary.
I think it'd be very helpful, because that way we'd know these are the offenses that have happened and these are the disciplines that are being doled out for those. So you get a bigger picture of what's going on in terms of, you know, the transparency we keep talking about.
I think that's a really good point, and I think you're correct that it's specifically not listed as something that needs to be in the report, so I'll make an amendment. Make an amendment after we've heard the rest of the testimony.
Good afternoon. Thank you again, Councillors. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson for the record. And it's very encouraging to see your attentiveness there. And I think that's important in the context of we've just talked about the PSEP. Will the PSEP have full access to unredacted information from the PRB? Probably not. If we want the PSEP to do a good job, we need to find a way to get the PSEP to have, ideally, we need to improve public access to the PRB, but at least for the PSEP. As Commissioner Schaltzman's excellent question noted, where is the self-analysis data from the police? How can we talk about the quality of policing in various neighborhoods if they redact the precinct? We need to know by zip code or more specific information where problem policing is happening. So I think maybe you've overloaded your plate. You've got some amendments from the mayor's staff, from Commissioner Udaly. I think you can probably move and pass those amendments. But I hope that you'll very strongly consider bringing this back again for a better look, to get longer period of public input, to nail down ways so that, it's not just about attacking the police. It's about making sure the police and yourselves and the PSEP have data to find out where mistakes, problems, possibly racist incidents are happening, and being able to take corrective action. So I thank you all for your attentiveness and the robust discussion you've had around here. I hope you won't just stop with approving today's amendments, but you'll soon on the agenda, and maybe possibly this should be on the PSEP agenda when they start meeting in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Let's get our staff back to...
Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Saltzman, did you have a question?
No, I wanted to move an amendment to include the stipulated discipline items to be included in the police review board's semi-annual or twice a year report.
I actually have the language but I'd like to ask the staff about it.
Okay.
And I believe this goes in Section I, and it would be a new number 3, which is Section I starts on page 7 and goes to, this would be on page 8 of Exhibit A, and I'm suggesting that it would add a number 3 to say any stipulated agreements where a final decision has been reached. I'm just wanting to get your opinion as to that.
I have no objections. I fully support that.
Could you read that again? What was it?
It would add to Section I, number 3 on page 8 of Exhibit A, number 3, any stipulated agreements where a final decision has been reached.
Oh, okay.
Or if Mr. Amberg has better language, I would be happy to take it.
I wouldn't say that for sure, but I think that's seems like a fair, exactly. Certainly seems like a fair amendment. But.
Conveys what we're trying to get to.
It didn't occur to me until Commissioner Saltzman brought it up, and I actually agree with Mr. Handelman. I think it's totally appropriate to include those in the biannual PRB reports.
Mm-hmm. So I move that amendment.
Second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. So we have 3 amendments on the table. We have Commissioner Udaly's amendment. We have my amendment that Nicole has worked with us to put on the table. And now we have a 3rd amendment, Commissioner Fritz's amendment. Why don't we take the amendments up in order unless anybody has any further questions? We'll start with Commissioner Udaly's amendment. Further discussion? I'm sorry?
The order was actually Wheeler amendment? Wheeler?
You
have it. Okay.
It says Udaly's Wheeler 1 first.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Udaly's. Carla, please call the roll unless anybody has any further questions. Very good.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. Really good catch, Commissioner Udaly. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Next up is Wheeler Amendment 1. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Absolutely the wonkiest amendment of the afternoon. Thank you very much for catching it. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler.
And this is why lawyers are important. I vote aye. The amendment's adopted.
You noted that. Thank you, for the Mark. Record. Thank you.
And the 3rd and final amendment is the one that Commissioner Fritz just outlined with Commissioner Saltzman.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I have to mark this occasion because I don't know how often, if ever, a member of the Portland Police Bureau has expressed agreement with Mr. Dan Handelman, and I think it's a notable occasion and one that I think we're probably all going to agree on, so I vote aye.
Fritz.
That's a really important comment because we are making progress, I believe. And thank you, Mr. Handelman, for your ongoing diligence. We can always count on you, and you often come with a great suggestion, so thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Maybe we should get like a CD and burn it and frame it for Dan. Aye.
Wheeler.
This is common sense. I appreciate it. I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Now to the main motion. Any further questions or comments, colleagues?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly.
So we know that disciplinary actions lose meaning if they occur too long after the violation of a policy. As the DOJ pointed out, a drawn-out accountability process reasonably makes it harder for the public to trust that there are consequences for officers who act in violation of policies. Today's ordinance reflects a common-sense approach, and I appreciate the number of checks on power that are included here. I'm also encouraged by the Independent Police Review's approval of this policy. I vote aye.
I concur with some of the testimony that we heard, particularly Mr. Handelman's, that it's unfortunate that we're not fixing some of the other things which are outstanding. I hope we will continue. It seems like we're building some momentum here. Thank you, Nicole Grant, for going the extra mile to help me understand this, and also Mark Amberg for your briefing yesterday. It's an important step forward, and it's finally brought to the light today, the discipline guide, which obviously I think needs some work. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
In my role as police commissioner, obviously a number of police discipline cases cross my desk on a regular basis. In my review of each case, it's impossible not to notice how far back some of the cases extend between the date of the incident or the beginning of the investigation to the final discipline letter that is sent to the involved officer. Some of those time frames are unacceptably long, ranging from a year to 2 years for cases in which the officer accepted responsibility long before. This doesn't just mean that officers are left wondering when their cases are going to be resolved. It also means that community members who've brought complaints forward don't see a resolution for substantially long periods of time. Again, that is not due process. The result of this is lower morale and a vote of no confidence from the public in a Byzantine system that doesn't seem to do much to right the wrongs that they experience. One of the key areas of focus for my administration has obviously been strengthening our police bureau and making the bureau more accountable to the public that it serves. Due process and accountability demand that officers and community members are given closure with their cases in a timely manner. We need to continue supporting a system that treats all involved parties fairly and respects them throughout their engagement with the city. Accountability means clarity for the public and bureau members at all stages of the discipline process. As a city, we can and should provide better service for our constituents. We should provide more clarity for our officers. We all agree we need to do better. We will do better. And I believe this process is an important waypoint in getting us there. So I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. Thank you, everybody. Nicole, again, thank you. Resolution's adopted as amended, and we are...
Are we going to talk about tomorrow?
Adjourned. Before we ring out, did we reach a resolution on tomorrow, Mustafa, in the council session? Okay, colleagues will hear more about that. Apparently, we have a couple of absences.
Let's just tell the public that it's possible we might not be meeting tomorrow.
And that's fine, but you will still need to reconvene tomorrow to make that.
Because that's a potential. Okay.
Well, and then, Mayor, you just said that the resolution was adopted as amended, but it was an ordinance. So I just wanted to clarify that for the record. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, take two. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Very good. All right, we are adjourned.